it's to fight for your dreams, constantly fight for your dreams. And then for me, it's to help other people fight for their dreams.
That's a nice
somebody thing. somebody asked what do you want on your gravestone, and it said he fought for other people's dreams.
That's nice. My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. So welcome back to part two with Patrick M. Powers. Just a quick reminder to check out the links on the website for Focus Coaching. It's a very powerful, simple tool in its application, but it really, really works. So do check it out. The links are at the bottom of the homepage on lifepassionandbusiness.com. So getting back to Patrick Powers. So to recap the story so far, he started his first business early, lost a lot, learned the skills of marketing and selling, went into network marketing, built an amazing business, moved to the Caribbean, lost the lots, broke and unwell, he returned to the UK to recover. We join the story there. So obviously this led you to getting some health back and then starting this next business, which is what you're doing now. So what was the seed of that? How did you get to that idea and then turn that into
success? That was basically, I mean, again, you know, it's been my goal for years to help entrepreneurs with their marketing and influence and communication skills, pitching, presentation skills, and all that kind of stuff. So that's been my game for a long time. And so I started a meetup group right after I came back from Dominican Republic, because I didn't have any money. So I didn't have any money to market myself for. So the only way that I could think of surviving was to do networking. So started this group, and it grew fairly well in the beginning. And then after about 3.5 years, it's exploded. And there's a whole story behind that as well. But basically we became the biggest business meetup group in Europe. And we do networking events, we do talks with top entrepreneurs. And so that's how I generated my leads as well for my business through this group. And we now are 27,500 members.
Wow, 27,000 members is a massive size of a group.
It's pretty good. And not only that, we're actually gaining a number one in the world. So we're number two in the business and career category on meetup.com, and gaining a number one. So
this is an online meetup. This is the meetup, the online
system. Yeah, meetup.com. Yeah.
Okay. Right, fantastic. Do they charge you extra for the people that are involved?
No, thankfully they don't. It's a flat fee, and it's about $20, $25 a month or something.
Yeah, that's not bad actually. If they were charging £1 a person, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you?
Definitely would. Unless I could get £2 back, you know.
Oh dear. So meetup group. So how does that work? You kind of organize regular meetups in meetup in this group?
Obviously now with COVID, you know, we're doing some online webinars and we're doing some online networking as well. But yeah, before we're doing a couple of events a month. We've had some top names on. We've even had a tech billionaire come and speak. We've had Richard Branson's right hand man come and speak, Brad Russer. It's just amazing to hang out with other
experts. Is it focused around London or all over Europe?
Yeah, London.
London. Okay.
So the group is called Entrepreneurs in London. However, we are now working on creating our own platform and scaling around the world, actually, under the name of Founder Nation. So that's really exciting. We've had very solid interest from some investors that want to help us scale it as a training platform and community for business people around the world.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
And what, so what does a person, how does someone get involved? Is it a club? Do they buy into the club or what happens?
It's free actually. So I would almost say unfortunately, because like meetup, you used to actually be able to charge membership fee. But they removed that feature and they said they were going to bring it back better and whatever with more features, but they never did. Because I was realizing a couple of years ago, it was like, oh my God. And I think at that time I had 22,000 members or something. And it's like, wow, if I could get people to just pay £10 a year for membership, right?
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
I mean, that's over 200K.
Yeah.
Right. That'll do it.
Yeah.
So no, unfortunately we can't charge membership. But so people basically just, I mean, it's free membership and then they just pay for the events, which are very cheap. It's like £5, £10, £15.
Brilliant. Brilliant. It's a great model. It's a great model. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, meetups are amazing. I think it's a great idea they had. Unfortunately, the platform is not very good because the members between each other can't really do much networking. And that's really what I want. I want to empower entrepreneurs. Our mission is to connect entrepreneurs because I think connections is one of the basic things. You just have to have connections. The more connections you have, the better you're off.
You might want to try and think about setting up a, like there's a couple of private social media groups. I think something called Ning, I think it's called. And that allows.
Yeah, no, we are, as I said, we are developing our own platform now and we are looking into different technology that we can build our own. Our network and our own platform. There's Mighty Networks, there's Ning, there is, I can't remember the last one, Tribe.
Tribe, I've heard of Tribe, yeah. There's a few of them around, and they're quite good. They do, if you've got an engaged network, they're fantastic.
Mm.
So I need to be really careful here because I'm getting geeked out on your story and your marketing stuff. So I need to be careful because I can go into a rabbit hole in this one. So pulling us back onto target. So, okay, you've obviously had a journey, clearly a journey into some parts that into the depths of your soul by the sounds of it.
Oh,
what is success for you? Because obviously success at some point was a girlfriend in New York and all that.
Yeah,
and a trapping.
And a Maserati. I would say Maserati is still a little bit of a part of the picture.
Okay.
But for me, there's two things, okay? It's freedom, just the freedom to be wherever you want, travel wherever you want. That's one part of it. Just like complete freedom, not worrying about money. And then number two is waking up in the morning and feeling that you're making a difference, that you are creating value, that you're actually adding something to the world that would not be here unless you are here. Mm-hmm. Right. And then just having people come back to you and say that you've made a difference to them. That's the two things, freedom and then making a difference.
Hmm. So as do you think your definition of success has moved and changed over time?
Yeah, it's definitely moved more towards making a difference. No doubt. Yeah. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. Even if you're making decent money, as long as you don't have to stress about money, really what life is about is making a difference. You feel amazing. You feel alive.
Would you say your journey has contributed to that change?
Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, my own hardship is, you know, helping like being in incredible pain and stress and all that kind of stuff, like gives me the empathy to feel other people's stress and pain and to appreciate it even more when I help somebody else get out of that stress, because it's stressful to be a business owner, you know, and if you can help somebody get over, out of that stress and find their path in life, become more successful, get to a place in their business where they can start on focusing on contributing instead of just surviving. That's just like, I feel so inspired by it and so grateful that I am actually able to do that.
Mm-hmm. You started in kind of the holistic environment, really, or the alternative environment. Yep. Do you still have a connection to that stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely love it. Yeah. I mean, still deeply into supplements and diets and all that kind of stuff. But it's going more towards the psychological side.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you also had that kind of like guidance moment. Do you find you're still using that kind of ability these days?
So I'm meditating almost every single morning. and doing some brain training still to rewire my brain. Yeah. So there's still some foods that I can't eat, and I'm working on that. But it's astounding, isn't it? That you can actually be intolerant to something. Your body simply can't tolerate it, and you literally can train your brain to tolerate it. Did you know, by the way? I mean, this is what I'm really geeking out on these days: is the power of the brain, which over the last couple of decades, science has discovered like insane stuff about the brain and how plastic it is, right? Meaning how changeable it is. Did you know that you can actually learn, get this, I'm not joking, you can learn to see with your ears. Did you know that?
No, I didn't actually.
Okay. There is blind people, and there's actually a guy who's blind. He's a coach teaching other blind people to see with their ears.
Oh, they do ticking, don't they? They tick.
Yeah. They tick. They make a ticking noise.
Yes.
And so they literally use echolocation.
Echolocation. Yes. I've seen that done. It's amazing. Yeah. On TV, of course.
It's insane. So you, they're not only like, as long as they haven't been blind for their whole life, if they've had vision at some point in their life, they can literally learn to see objects in their mind with the echolocation. Right. Obviously, they will not be nearly as clear as we see it with the eyes, but they can literally see contours of things. Isn't that insane?
It is. It's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing. But it's like when you talk about the possibilities of the brain, and I need to be careful because again, I can get geeked out on this stuff. But it is amazing. Like I was reading the other day that someone is training dogs to smell COVID-19.
Yeah,
because most diseases and changes in the body have an associated smell.
Yeah,
and they say that the comparison to a dog's nose, if you put a spoon of sugar in a cup of tea, most people can probably smell it. You can smell the sugar in the tea; it has a different smell to it. If you put sugar in a swimming pool, a dog could tell. That's the difference.
Yeah.
That's the difference in terms of their ability. And and you just say we have no idea. We cannot understand how that is possible, how a dog could smell that And there are dogs that are smelling cancer and smelling diabetes and all sorts of stuff. Yep. So it doesn't surprise me what the human, even if a dog can do that, what else could we do? I mean, our brains are bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've actually did experiments, actually learned or taught people to see with their tongue. Okay, it sounds crazy again, but they basically put an electro-stimulating device on the tongue that would send electro-stimulations, so they can touch a an element, right? Yeah. Touch something, like see an apple. So this thing would see it, this electronically see it and send electrostimulations to the tongue. And then over time, they can actually learn to see the elements with that device on the tongue.
I guess you have to find some point in the body where there's so many nerve endings that you can actually give a lot of information to.
Yeah.
And the tongue probably is one of those things.
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating, fascinating. This is a whole podcast on its own that we could go into, but let's not go there. Yeah. So, okay, moving on from the idea of, you know, what success means. And clearly this is going to bridge over it, you think, because I think you almost said it in a way. What is your contribution to the world?
It's connecting entrepreneurs. I think that will be it. And what I'm also is very good at is discerning whether information in terms of training is actually good or not. So on the platform, we're going to have curated training programs. I've been very fortunate to be around top entrepreneurs and tons of training. So I just know what a good training constitutes. So I'm very, very good at that. And then connecting entrepreneurs and masterminding. That's basically it.
Right.
Which is insanely important. I cannot stress enough how important your network is. The people you surround yourself with. And by the way, now that we come to the brain thing, this is a geeky thing. You know that you've heard that we are the average of the five people we surround yourself with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You've heard that. Now, science actually knows why, right? Okay. It's because it literally is a scientific reason to it. We have something in our brain called mirror neurons.
Mm-hmm.
Mirror neurons. The sole function of these neurons is to copy behavior of the people that are around us. to literally mirror behavior. And so by surrounding ourselves with better people than, you know, we did last year, whatever, if we're moving up, we're really surrounding ourselves with much better people, we will outsource our personal development. You literally cannot not change. If you change your environment, if you change the people that you surround yourself with, you cannot not change. It's impossible. It happens automatically. The mirror neurons just kicks in and copy the people that are around you.
There's a dark side to that, isn't there? That's probably why successful schools and colleges are better.
Than
kind of like the poorer relations, because
yeah, and if you live quality, in a ghetto or whatever, if you live in a place where there's tons of poor people around you, you just got to get out. You literally have to get out.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a book called Willpower Is Not Enough, and he provides a very, very, very strong case for why it's practically impossible to change your life unless you change your environment. I mean, it's like literally down to the county in the U.S., you can predict. Like if you move to a certain county in the U.S., you can predict whether your income is going to go up or down.
Wow.
It's insane.
That is,
I mean,
scary.
It's really, really fascinating. Mm. So when I learned that, I said, okay, I'm surrounded by lots and lots of great entrepreneurs, but I'm also surrounded by a lot of poor entrepreneurs and startups and dreamers. Like in Entrepreneurs in London, we're everything from the dreamers to a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
And so I decided last year to start something called VIP Dinners, which is basically a network of like the most successful of my members that I knew.
Yeah.
And starting to do those events has, I cannot even tell you how big an impact on my life has had. It's insane. Monetarily, I got some clients out of that, partnerships. But what it's done to my own confidence and self-worth is just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. So when you can, the difference is, I guess, is with people who have that level of confidence in their own thing, their own ability, and they just make things happen because they have that confidence. And when you see that, for you, it becomes possible.
It does, and it's almost like you're learning by osmosis.
Yeah.
Right. It feels like that way. I remember, I think it was the second meeting we had. There was something one of the guys said that I heard many, many times before. I've read it. I heard it on YouTube videos, but he said it. And there was the way he said it with the conviction he said it. And it was like, boom, it just like went straight into my brain. Like I could literally feel a shift of how my beliefs around a certain subject shifted.
Yeah.
It was just extraordinary. And that's one of the reasons why I become so passionate about masterminding. So it's going to be a main thing I'm going to do for the rest of my life is creating masterminds, because I've seen it says there's nothing that I know of that has the same transformational power.
Have you heard of the Baby Bathwater Institute?
I have actually. One of my good friends is actually one of the guys who's in VIP Dinners is in Baby Bathwater, and he keeps on going on about how amazing it is.
Yeah, it is. And you can't get in the door unless you have to open your books and show how much money you make, because they charge 20 grand to turn up, and it's like, unless you can prove you can afford it, they won't let you in.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And it's like, it's complete madness. I know a few people that have been, and not they're not personal. They're connections. They're not personal friends, but and they tell interesting stories of it. Yeah, but it's the same thing. You know, you're sitting around the table with billionaires, and as you say, nothing is. Everything is possible.
And the thing is, when somebody who's that successful also gives you, pats you on the back and says you're well done, or this is great, you're doing great, it has it has a bigger effect than if your mom and dad or your friends around you say, "Oh, you're doing well." Like somebody who's really successful, who's way ahead of you, come say, "You're doing really well," or "Thank you for doing that." It just says,
it's interesting, isn't it? It's like, but we all get this, don't we? It's like the social media post, isn't it? Like you do a social media post and someone who you think of well likes it, or comments. He commented.
it becomes part of our identity. Like suddenly it's like, well, wow, you know, I must be good since somebody that successful, somebody that smart or whatever it is, likes what I'm doing, then I must be pretty smart as well. Yeah. You know?
So moving us on, this is the one question, the really strange one, and it can be asked in two ways. So I'll ask it the first way. So what is the one question I should have asked you, but I didn't?
What's the one thing that you should have done differently early in life?
Oh, good question.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to answer it as well?
Of course you can answer it. Of course. This is your opportunity to say what you like.
Okay. Well, that's actually a couple of things I would have done differently. First of all, I would have really just believed in myself. And I just really honestly just believed in myself because I had so much self-doubt. Yeah. Right. Number two, I would not have started that business. Right. This is, well, lots of people think that's surprising. I would have not have started my first business. The first business.
Okay.
At that point, I would have gone into, and I know that this would have been incredibly uncomfortable for me, but I would have gone and get a job as a salesperson. Mm. And then I would have done that for one and a half years. And then I would have gone and get a job in advertising, marketing, advertising specifically for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Because those are two foundational skills that you just cannot do without in business. Right. You can maybe do without one of them, but you have to master at least one of them. Better if you master both of them. If you don't have any of them, you're lost. You cannot succeed unless you're really, really lucky to be so brilliant that you have an idea that you could get funding, like significant funding, where you can go out and hire great marketers and salespeople. But that's not the case for like 99.9 of the cases.
No, it isn't.
So you have to master sales and marketing. And that's probably the biggest mistake I did.
But surely if you'd have done that, you probably wouldn't be where you are now. You'd be in a different place.
You never know. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. I mean, you know, I definitely would have been in a different path in life. Maybe I would have been a CEO of a company or something. Mm. I think I would have been at a very high position anyway, even if I chose the career path, because it's just kind of my demeanor, or it's part of my nature to always improve and to always look for ways to improve things around me as well. So I would always be looking for ways to improve the businesses that I was hired for. Like, can we do things differently here? And so if I chose the career, the traditional career path, I still would have ended up quite high. I'm certain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I guess if you had chosen that path, it's like, because you did it for yourself in another business, so you would easily transfer those skills.
Yeah,
and you've repeated it. You've built a network before, and you've built a network again. So clearly, building networks is what you do. That's your skill.
That's actually what I've really realized in the last couple of years. Like, oh my God, I'm actually really, really good at this. I never really thought that this is the skill that was a significant skill. And suddenly I realized this is what I'm meant to. And I actually love connecting people, and especially around the masterminding thing. I just love it. So that's what I'm going to. And also another thing I'm also teaching is teaching people how to connect with other people.
Yes.
I'm also super passionate about that, because that skill is actually going away in the world. Right, and it's going away because of social media, because of the internet. I'll tell you one thing that I found disturbing. First of all, the whole fabric of our society is just changing, right? And friendships itself is actually being destroyed. 40 years ago, the average person in the Western world had 3.5 close friends, people that they can confide in. Today, that number is 0.75 on average. That means that not everyone has somebody they can call a close friend they can really confide in.
I think, but I certainly wouldn't phone them in the middle of the night. I mean, I would. I have two friends, I think.
Yeah. And it is so, so important that we have strong friendships around us for our physical health as well. This has been proven. It's one of the most major contributors to our physical health. Not just mental health, of course, mental health, that's obvious, but even our physical health, to have a strong network around us.
But we are social animals, and that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, and the internet and phones and that sort of stuff is taking us away from that. It has.
And I'll tell you what I find disturbing is that younger people seem to have no clue of how to actually behave in the real world. And I think the reason why is what it's all about on social media is look at me, how amazing I am, look at my amazing breakfast, look at my amazing vacation and amazing people I hang around. So it's all about, look at me, 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 me. Okay.
I have to say, I have a teenager who's now turned 18 this last week. So he's a teenager still, but he's not my responsibility anymore, sort of. Well, he always will be, but you know what I mean? But seeing how he interacts with his friends, I would have said the same to you a couple of years ago. But yeah. I have, you know, dad taxi, you know, and I've been in the car with them where they're all on their phones. And I think to myself, they're not, but they are communicating. And it's just, we're just not used to it. And what is interesting is that they will be talking. I've got to just send you this. Have you seen that? Oh, that's interesting. And then that, I know. And it's like this banter's going on off the phone, but they're communicating with the phone. It's almost like they're passing notes to each other. So, and it is fascinating. So I think it's changed. I don't think it is the same way as we experience it. But what I do think the problem is they don't have the emotional intelligence to do it face to face. They can't do it eye to eye. That's what they've lost.
Yeah, absolutely. So they've become bad at reading emotions and you know, as I say, facial expressions and all that kind of stuff.
But they're very good from an audio perspective. They can do it from hearing and from visual. So this is a bloody big social experiment, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah, really. Yeah, absolutely. So, but narcissism has actually increased dramatically over the last 10 years. Yeah. I think in general people could become more superficial. So I'm super passionate about teaching people how to really truly connect, like create deep meaningful relationships.
So
that's what I would like to give to the world as well, the gift of understanding how can I create a deep meaningful relationship.
That's a nice thing to give. That might even be the answer to my next question. Actually, it's the question after. Let's go this way. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to?
Yeah, so a couple of places, of course, LinkedIn and Facebook. Facebook is where I'm most active. Just search for Patrick M. Powers, M like in Mary. And of course, my website, patrickmpowers.com, where they can get a free sample of my new book, The New Marketing Manifesto.
Fantastic. And the meetup group is still going? They can get access to that, can they?
Oh, yeah, of course. meetup.com/entrepreneursinlondon. And on Facebook, our Facebook group is Founder Nation. So just search for Founder Nation, which is the name we're scaling in the world.
Fantastic. I will have all those links on the podcast page beneath the player as usual.
Brilliant.
So moving to our last question, which I said you may have already answered. What is the meaning of life for you?
It's to fight for your dreams, constantly fight for your dreams. And then for me, it's to help other people fight for their dreams.
That's a nice
Somebody asked, what do you want on your gravestone? And it said, he fought for other people's dreams.
That's nice. Because it is, I mean, we do have to give meaning to our life on our own, you know. And I mean, one of my meanings is walking out the door to college next week, you know, in a couple of months. It's like, now what do I do? So, yeah, we all have to find something that we do.
Yeah, and I think dreams are so sacred. And unfortunately, most people never chase their dreams. But you just become so much more alive. And it's honestly really living without chasing a dream. It's not, for me, it's not living, right? And for me, it's more than just business success, because somebody might want to, their definition of success is starting a charity in India, helping elephants or whatever. Whatever that dream is, they're, for me, they're so sacred, because when you're on that path of doing that dream, you feel so alive, you feel so amazing, and that's what I really want to help people reach. Well, whatever, like, even if it's not business.
I like what you just said there, because a lot of people seem to think dreams means the Maserati, means the thing, but dreams don't necessarily mean that. Dreams can actually mean changing the world. They can actually change people's lives. It can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to empower entrepreneurs, because I feel that entrepreneurship is the most important vehicle to change the world for the better.
Yeah. So Patrick Powers, thank you so much for taking the time out to be with me today. It has been a pleasure and a joy to be talking to you.
Likewise. It was awesome.
I'm looking forward to keeping in touch with you. I think we have more to talk about. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Patrick M. Powers. So that networking organization or group that we mentioned is on meetup.com, and you can find it at Entrepreneurs in London. That's Entrepreneurs in London on meetup.com. I'm sure Patrick will be delighted to have you in his organization. Now, you can also find Patrick on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on Twitter. And there are a couple of company websites, which is patrickmpowers.com and foundersmastermind.co.uk. So please catch up with Patrick. I'm sure he'd be delighted to speak to you. And that is it for this week. As you would have heard at the beginning of the program, Focus Coaching is available. So please check out the website for more details about that. And there'll be details about the event, reasons and results will be coming out imminently on the website. And there will also be some details on this podcast channel, probably on Sunday. Currently, we have 10 speakers and that will grow to over 20. They're all going to bring their skills, expertise and wisdom on the matter of how do we move forward in life to the life we want to lead. It's all about that ever elusive journey to what we would call a good life. So I would like to thank you so much for your time and attention, and I will catch you next time. All the best.